on 1116 SEN, the world of football for NSR Australia. Want to make the jump to US college sports? Visit nsraustralia.com and Banking on Football. We share your passion for the world game.
Apologies to NSR Australia's great supporters of the world of football. So we've got two very important organisations supporting a very important hour on 1116 SEN with two very important contributors, one of them in the studio, Herald Sun football writer Dave Davidovich. How are you, David?
Going very well, Finey. A-League season's over, but there's still plenty of football to watch and discuss.
Tottenham came and went, and it was a good game. There could have been more goals, but I tell you what, there was action at either end of the pitch, and Harry Kane scored, so I think everybody left happy.
I'm sceptical of these end-of-season games. For me, they're glorified end-of-season trips. However, we had 71-plus thousand on Saturday night. We've got a full house here again at ANZ Stadium, so the people are voting with their feet. To be fair, it was actually a decent game on Saturday, and the way this one started, we're 6 minutes in, I reckon people will get value for money.
Decent tempo. Jose Mourinho was just shown on the sidelines with his normal sour face. So, Look, in the pre-match presser that was conducted by Mourinho and John Terry, oh, look at this play.
Diego Costa.
Diego Costa has danced through five defenders and tried to nutmeg the keeper. And
did that hit the post?
I don't know, but that was sublime. You get more of that and there'll be people absolutely falling apart with joy. What they said prior to the game is true, and that is we've got fans right around the world. We know that our Australian fans are huge in number and are going to come out and support us, and we owe it to them to play good football. It would be, and that's right, that's what they've come here to do. Yeah, they're going to have a look around Sydney. They're going to enjoy the fact that it's not for premiership points in the EPL or
Kings Cross
Champions League. I don't know where they'll go.
Kings Cross.
Rooney doesn't play for them. Isn't that how he started out his career at Everton? Wasn't he a naughty boy when he began?
Yes, possibly.
The correct answer is yes. But they're there to do respect to the notion of being EPL premiers, and they've started in exactly that fashion. I think even though there's nothing at stake other than reputation, reputation is enough for them to play good football.
No, you're right, Finey. And look, the promoters have got smarter with these events over the years. I mean, back in the day, you know, Manchester United or someone would come, and there was one, I think the Brazilian national team came, and it ended up being their Olympic team, I think back in 1999, that turned up, and obviously all the tickets were sold on the premise that the senior team was coming. So the promoters have got smarter. They've got watertight contracts in terms of the key players coming. And obviously the clubs make... Chelsea
can't have bad players. I've just had a look. That's not their number one goalkeeper. It just happens to be Peter Cech.
Yeah, well, they're pretty lucky in that. And there we go, Peter Cech.
Audacious.
Selling a dummy.
Let's go straight to the game. ANZ Stadium is hosting an enormous crowd and also a magnificent football team. The EPL premiers, like them or loathe them, and during the EPL season, it's the latter for me, but tonight I'm absolutely starstruck, like all Aussie soccer fans, to see an A-League team come up against Chelsea. Michael Zapponi, working for Channel 7, has taken time out, and we are very fortunate to get right down onto the byline tonight, onto the sidelines. And Zappers, what an evening and what a crowd.
Yeah, good evening, Finey. Literally sitting a couple of metres away from the special one, and he's got an aura about him. He's unbelievable. He is the biggest star here tonight, there's no doubt about that. You've got the likes of Diego Costa and Eden Hazard and John Terry, but I reckon Jose just shades them a little bit in terms of his popularity. He was brilliant with the crowd before the game, went over and signed autographs and took photos, and everyone wants a piece of him, and he's so calm under pressure and just laps it all up. He really enjoys it, you get the sense. But seeing these players in the flesh, finally, we watch the EPL on TV week in, week out, but seeing these players in the flesh and just their burst of speed and their size and their control on the ball is the reason why there are over 83,000 in the stadium here tonight.
Zappa, can we get Mourinho for a minute? Can you get him on?
Yeah, let me just pass him over.
Yeah.
I don't think that's possible. But
we could get an impersonator. He's often impersonated. He's made a very good point prior to the game, and John Terry did as well. I was just discussing it with Dave. They are here to do their fans proud and their title proud, and there's no way the pride is going to allow them to do anything other than play good football.
No, and he said that at the press conference. I was there, and he said, we have an obligation to our fans. We know it's going to be a full stadium. We now have millions of people watching around the world, and as the Chelsea Football Club, we have an obligation every time we walk out onto the pitch to win a game of football and do our supporters proud. And he's done that with his starting lineup tonight. All of his big guns are in, from Petacek, Ivanovic, Hazard, Obi Mikel, Thiago Costa, Nemanja Matic. They're all starting tonight. And you'll see some of the younger boys come in the second half. But Thiago Costa's been especially impressive in the first 10 minutes. Whenever he goes near the ball, the crowd rises and Matic just has a shot on goal, which is really saved by Vedran Janjetovic. But he's a very impressive unit, is Thiago Costa.
Zappa, you were on the sidelines on Saturday night for the Spurs-Sydney FC game. I imagine you spoke to Pochettino and Harry Kane and a number of the stars, as well as the Chelsea stars. How do you compare the two teams and the people in question?
Yeah, look, all these English Premier League clubs, and we've had the opportunity to see other clubs here and Juventus last season. They're all very professionally run, and the players know the drill. They know what it's about. They know what is expected of them, of being a multi-million dollar star and playing on the biggest stage. And Harry Kane, he just sucks it up. He has that hunger for the game. And he was running around in the 80th minute rushing to take a corner. That's how hungry and enthusiastic he is about playing football. He could have easily played his 45 minutes on Saturday night and took his leave. But he wanted to continue to play. And I asked him about that. And he said, it was my decision. I told the manager I wanted to play more than 80 minutes, and he did so. And he was certainly, we talk about rising stars in the sport. He's 21 years of age. We know what he's done this year in the English Premier League. And again, to see him in the flesh, you know why. He's a prodigious talent.
And England manager Roy Hodgson wasn't happy about him coming to Australia, because they've, of course, got their Euro qualifier next week.
Yeah, he was playing the under-21s as well. He's got the European Championships for the under-21s, so no break for him. He's played in just about every game in the EPL and made his England debut earlier this year against Italy. So he is certainly going to be a huge star in world football. There's no doubt about that.
Now, Sydney FC are not the fall guys in these games, and they're not Washington Generals, the famous team that used to play those exhibition games against the Harlem Globetrotters, and I think won once in 500 tries or something. But they were good value on Saturday night, and Nick Carl should have scored. They're not out there tonight to do anything other than play their best footy, are they?
No, they're not. And Chelsea's just, Remy's just put one wide. That's the closest that Chelsea's gone after 12 minutes. They're finding space quite easily in the end. But it's quite a young side, finding for Sydney FC tonight, a massive opportunity for some of these players like Zambolziev and Ryan Grant, who's only been a bit part player. Terry Antonis, a Chelsea fan. As a kid, he had his room decorated in Chelsea paraphernalia. Now he gets a chance to play against them. Alex Gersbach, these types of players. What an occasion it is for them. And you're right, they matched it with the Tottenham. And look, Tottenham could have gone up an extra gear, you would think. But it's a great experience for them to test themselves against some of the best in the world.
Like Remy, the man who failed a Liverpool medical, and aren't they regretting not signing him this season?
Yeah, well, Liverpool's regretting a lot of decisions this season, aren't they, Dave? But, it's great to have these clubs here, and the experience we had with Liverpool a couple of years ago in Melbourne was a positive one, and I've been talking to some of the promoters involved in these games, and they've been overwhelmed with the level of support, not just from the ticket sales, but from the sponsors and from the TV broadcasters. And we'll see a lot more of it in Australia. And some people criticise these games and talk about the fact that, it's only an exhibition game. But I believe, for me, we're getting free-to-air exposure. We're getting the game and the name of our clubs, A-League clubs and international players coming here on the front and back pages, top of the news bulletins on free-to-air TV. It can only be good for the game. And I think it's great for us, and we'd love to see more of it in coming years.
As much as every Sydney FC player out there will be focusing on the game, I think in the back of their minds is whose shirt they can get when the final whistle blows.
Yeah.
Obviously, there'll be a beeline for Hazard, for Terry, for Diego Costa. Is there any semblance of order? Are there pre-organised deals, or is it first in best dressed?
I think there is a bit of an agreement, you know, that at half time, if you haven't got your shirt at half, if you haven't negotiated during the first half, you're in trouble. I know some of the younger Sydney boys who came on in the second half last week all went up to Harry Kane and he'd done his deal and had his shirt swapped. I'm not sure who actually ended up getting Harry Kane's shirt, but I'll find out for you in the course of the night. But I'm sure Diego Costa and John Terry and Eden Hazard are the top of the pops. And I'm sure negotiations are happening as we speak out on the pitch, Spidey.
Zappa, I've got a challenge for you, mate. Don't worry about a shirt. I want you to get Peter Cech's helmet into the studio next week.
Well, I'm making a beeline for him at the end of the game, Dave. So we're going to interview Peter Cech on our telecast. So I'm not sure if I'm brave enough. Have you seen the size of him?
Big boy, the Cechman.
He is big, and this could be his last game for Chelsea. You know, he's been the second keeper. Courtois has been the number one keeper for Chelsea this year, and he believes, and rightly so, that he could be a first-team keeper at a big club in the English Premier League. So this could be, after almost 500 games for Chelsea, Peter Cech's last game tonight for the Blues.
Well, don't get into the technical area. That's Jose's, but otherwise, keep stalking the sidelines and feel free to call in and report any strange goings-on. We know the Jose's. And, hey, they're capable for an off-the-scale loss. They got beaten by Bradford this year in the FA Cup. So, who knows? Sydney FC might pull off the impossible and get a win anyhow. Zappas, thanks so much for joining us. You look wonderful in... Was that an orange tie you were wearing?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the tie. It's a bit of orange and a bit of paisley, so a couple of controversial elements.
Most of the players wear orange boots, so it looks like you're colour-coordinated right down to the bootstraps.
A few question marks from the producers, Zappa.
Yeah, I know they weren't happy, but I don't make those decisions, Double, so we just go with the flow.
And quite a few people have said how wonderful your hair looks on TV. Is that coincidental, or is there somebody that cuts your hair?
Yeah, obviously our friends at Alpha Bath was a quick trim before we left Piney, so it's freezing down here too, by the way, so let's hope there's a few goals to entertain the fans.
Trimmed by Alpha Barbers, dressed by somebody
Channel 7.
Somebody who's not all that au fait with colour. Always wonderful. Michael's at Pony, World of Football's own, on the sidelines, just metres away from the great one. Well, they're both great ones. It's time to welcome the boss of the NPL and WPL back to 11-16 SEN. He's taken the night off from his position as coach of the Langwarrin women's team. So he's got a absentee notice, but well worth having him in as it was last year. Liam Bentley, how are you, mate?
Fantastic. Thank you for having me on again.
Now, I suggested and... Well, I'll ask Dave. Am I right in saying that since Liam was in last year, it has been a very good... When was the last time you were in? Maybe it wasn't that long ago.
It's probably about a third of the way through last season,
Similar time. Not a full year, but probably a pretty similar period, actually. It's been a good 12 months for club football in Victoria and the NPL through its various grades, the FA Cup and other... The FFA Cup, I should say, and other... initiatives have gone well, and it's been a good 12 months.
Spot on, Finey. I mean, there was a lot of conjecture about the NPL starting, and particularly the perception was that it was rushed, and clubs didn't have a lot of time to put their applications together and whatnot. But certainly since, you're right, the last 12 months, it's really gone from strength to strength, and the FFA Cup as well, which is not under the, I guess, NPL jurisdiction, but it's given the local clubs a voice. There's a lot of things to be happy about in local football.
Liam, the 12 months has had many positives. What have been the highlights for you? And if you were to, we'll also talk about things that you're working on, but if you were to present, say, to a group of interested investors, what have been the positives, the growth areas of club football, NPL and WPL football in Victoria in the last 12 months?
Look, I think they've touched on it with the FA Cup, although it's not in the title, it's a little bit under my jurisdiction in the office, and that's been fantastic for everyone. That's been a really massive success on and off the field for a whole variety of reasons, in terms of just getting more interest in the sport, and just that connection again. Was always spoken about bridging that gap between local football and the top level at the A-League. So to me, that's been, you know, the number one really public, I guess, positive. I think the other one is just the stability that the NPL clubs are finding now. There's no doubt they've absolutely spot on about it was very rushed given everything that happened prior to the first season of NPL. But I think now everyone having a good off-season and having a season to find their feet, the clubs are really starting to grasp what NPL is, and it makes a massive difference when they start, I guess, thinking on the same kind of level as what we're thinking on and what FFA's thinking on, and when you all start pushing the same direction, it's got to be positive.
Liam, there was a three-year moratorium for the NPLV. Two clubs were added this season, I believe Nunawading and Eastern Lions. What's the plan for next season and thereafter? What's the plan after the three-year moratorium?
So for this season, there won't be any additional clubs. We've got 34 now, if we include the two NYL clubs from Melbourne Victory and Melbourne City. And I think, given the fact that, like we say, we've got a three-year licence, there's no real, I guess, stability in providing a licence for 1 year for a club to come into NPL, given over the next six to 9 months prior to the season kicking off next season, we'll have to have a very good and very solid plan of what happens from 2017 onwards. So it's a bit of a tight timeline. 3 years seems like a long time, but you know we're only 18 months into a competition, and already we're starting to look at what the competition is going to look like in the next 18 months. And we do need to get that, again, because of the rushed nature of the first iteration. I think it's really important that we get this stuff out early and allow the clubs to actually plan for what they want to do, whether it's the clubs within NPL or the clubs who are currently outside that umbrella.
And after that 3 years, I mean, is there a good chance that it will be cut? Will the regulations be a lot more stringent? Because from what I hear and being involved at local level, I know one of the serious issues is the quality of coaches and the, I mean, obviously, you know, every club needs, what, 8 to 10, possibly 12 accredited coaches, and it's a real challenge finding quality coaches to cater for all the teams. And we've obviously got the WNPL coming in next year, which we'll touch on a little bit later. But will it be cut?
Look, there's certainly no decision about that right now. Like I say, there's a lot of, I guess, a lot of information we have to take in through this year before we really know what the status is and before we really make that type of plans. Going on the issues about the coaching, it's definitely been a big push and a big issue in terms of getting the right number of coaches. But really, this is the legwork for the next 20 years of coaching in Victorian football. Because although it's a struggle right now to get people through skill training, C licences, B licences, that's going to become the status quo. That's going to become the base of the pyramid. And it's been said to me 100 times that the bigger you build the base of a pyramid, the higher it's going to go. So once the level that everyone struggled to meet in that first year, in 2 or 3 years' time, that's going to be the accepted minimum of what we've got. So there's certainly no specific plans to cut it, grow it, but there's certainly all options on the table. We will be trying to raise the bar, though, so it certainly won't be what got you into year one, certainly won't get you into year three.
We touched on the FFA Cup, round six coming up this weekend, Finey, and kicked off on Friday night. So this is the second last round before it goes into the national final 32, the games that are televised on Fox Sports. So just quickly go over the fixtures, and it kicks off with an absolute ripper on Friday night. Such a shame that these two clubs are kicking off early in the tournament. South Melbourne versus the Melbourne Knights, and there's Heidelberg United.
Oh, gee, what a great start. It's a pity, but it's good that they're meeting.
Yeah, it's going to be it'll be a big one. I think South Melbourne members. I might be fine. I'm off on Sunday. I'm on a little holiday, so just got to cram a few things in. But Heidelberg United versus the Caulfield Cobras also on Friday night, and I want to touch on Caulfield a little bit later because they had a crack at an interesting player, Fine. I reckon you'll fall off your chair when you hear this one. Saturday, Ballarat Red Devils versus Hume City. Then on Sunday, we've got Preston Lions, Kingston City. Frankston Pines versus Avondale. South Springvale versus North Geelong. Oakley versus Bendigo. And then on the long weekend, Monday, Essendon Royals versus Goulburn Valley. So some cracking games there. Finally, did you want to say something, mate?
I was going to say something, but I might just hold what I'm going to say because there's been action aplenty. Oh! Now, there's been action aplenty at ANZ Stadium. There's been a goal, but we're not going to say who scored it. We'll have the audio in a minute, but I can tell you this much. Whoever scored the goal, whatever team scored it, it is extraordinarily lucky that that team did not have that goal pulled back a moment later. So let's have a listen to the goal. Thanks to Seven, mate.
Costa, German, saw it off. And Hazard read the eyes of Antonis. Remy. Aspilicueta overlapping. Used him as a decoy. Remy!
Oh, and since that goal, there has been action aplenty. Dave Davidovich, you saw Sydney FC go incredibly close to equalising.
We did, and now Chelsea just had a chance. I think it was John Obi Mikel who put it over the bar. But, gee, I mentioned Loic Remy and Liverpool at the start of the show. They must be absolutely kicking themselves. Because
They got Balotelli.
They got Balotelli, who I haven't got the stats in front of me. There's no doubt Remy scored more than Balotelli this season.
It's Balotelli scored once, and it was from a foot out.
Poor choice. I mean, I know medicals are necessary, but I'm not sure what was going on down at Anfield or Melwood where they do their tests. And
another incredibly close shot. And a great
Diego Costa.
Great save there by Janjetovic.
Diego Costa is absolutely on. For anyone not watching, tune on to Seven, mate. Tune in. And
listen to us.
As well as listening to us, just turn the audio off on Channel 7. Diego Costa is on fire. One of the best strikers in world football.
That was sensational. But I'm not sure who the... Well, they had two great... I'm pretty sure he got a hand onto that, the keeper, because that has just missed. The response by Sydney was fantastic, and they had a ball cleared off the line in midair by one of the Chelsea defenders. I'm not sure who last man was, but it's a very good game of football.
It's a great game. It's open, end-to-end, lots of chances. Now, just going back to the local side of it, there is a bit of a bridge here from international to local football. Finally, touched on Caulfield Cobras, who are in State League 2,
I believe.
All right, so they had a crack. The transfer window, local transfer window, closed last Tuesday. Finally, it was only open for a short period. Have a guess which former English Premier League player they tried to sign.
Premier League player?
Mm-hmm. Only a couple of years, or a few years ago he was there. Fulham, Man United.
Lazio, Everton.
Everton.
Oh, well, hang on. Fulham, Man United, Lazio.
Left footer.
French international.
French.
I should know. I'm trying to think who it is.
Luis Saha.
Luis Saha?
Caulfield Cobras almost signed Luis Saha.
How? Where is he? What is he just hanging
Liam,
around?
Liam, can you help us out?
What is he just hanging around Glen Huntly Road?
He obviously likes the Victory Park facility. Now, look, to be honest, it was rumoured, and very strongly rumoured, that Luis Saha was going to come down for a spell with Caulfield Cobras to maybe have a crack at the FFA Cup. Nothing's eventuated as of now, but it was certainly the talk of the town last week in Victorian football.
That's audacious, to say the least.
It is, and good on them. Apparently he almost signed for the Ballarat Red Devils a year or so ago, so he's obviously got a local contact. But you know what, good on clubs for having a crack, having such audacious bids for big names, current or former. I mean, we see some players are running around in the IPL over in India who've, you know, David James and whatnot, who haven't played for about 7 or 8 years. So why wouldn't you do it at local level here?
It certainly is audacious. The WPL, whose responsibility you also have the responsibility for, I should say, Liam, has produced a couple of wonderful footballers that will be strutting their stuff with the Matildas. Starting, when's the first game against the USA, Dave?
Thursday or Friday?
It is on Tuesday. Tuesday morning, 9:30 a.m. kickoff, I believe. 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday, so the morning of our next show.
And we can point to a couple of WPL products as being key members of the team.
Yeah, certainly. Look, Melissa Barbieri has been playing international football, I think, as long as I've been in Australia. So she's back in the squad after taking a bit of time out to have a baby. And she's been firing for Box Hill and back in the squad. Also, Steph Catley, the captain of the Melbourne Victory W League team. She's been a product of WPL and the Victorian system, and she's proudly in there. And as well as Lisa Devana, who, although not WPL, has been a part of the Melbourne Victory W League team. And she's also been named co-captain, I believe, of the Matildas.
She has an absolute gun up front, a nuggety little striker. And Steph Catley, who's been playing at left back, looks like she'll play in central defence for the Matildas. But finally, I've heard a lot about women's football in AFL, and recently a lot of publicity last few weeks, and good on them, because you want to see people playing sport, and I'm not a big believer in this, you know, football versus AFL and whatnot, but certainly when you look at soccer, we'll call it football, World of Football program, haven't heard a lot about the Matildas or the fact that they're coming up and playing in a Women's World Cup. But on Tuesday, they'll be playing against the USA and Canada. They're going to play in front of a sold-out 35,000 stadium over in Canada. So,
gee, they're in a tough group.
They've got a very tough group. I mean, USA have been the dominant team. That's the opening game. Then they play against Nigeria. And then Sweden, the team that knocked them out in the quarterfinals at the last World Cup. But for anyone who's got a passing interest or hasn't seen women's football, I encourage you to tune in on SBS and watch, because you will be absolutely staggered at the quality and standard of women's football. And it'll be a fantastic event. And I think the Matildas could do some damage in this upcoming World Cup.
Welcome back to the World of Football. Action at both ends of the pitch. 1-0 Chelsea lead Sydney, 42 minutes gone. Diego Costa has taken an early shower, been replaced by a youngster with the surname Loftus-Cheek. And with Liam Bentley in the studio from the NPL, where he is the boss, and of course Dave Davidovich from the Herald Sun. Liam, you were saying that Loftus-Cheek is a player of much promise.
Yeah, lots of big raps on him. Of my offside on the NPL, or my NPL coordinator Nathan Johnson's, he's headed up to Sydney. He's a big Chelsea fan, and he's got massive raps on him. So if he tells me something about Chelsea, I tend to listen.
We are going to do a little bit of a review of the A-League, but before we do, Twitter, the World of Football's Twitter account, has popped up an interesting question, has it not, Dave?
Spot on, Finey. Now, this question comes from Country Victoria, Goulburn Valley Suns, specifically, were part of the NPL. Now, the question is FFV going to help regional NPL junior clubs with travel subsidy over 6,000 kilometres per year?
Look, the quick and easy answer is it's on the agenda. The more extensive answer is, at the moment, there is no subsidies, so that's out there. There's no subsidies at the moment. But I think we're taking massive steps in regional football. I mean, if we look at 2 or 3 years ago, the ability for regional kids and even regional senior players to actually have a crack at the top level of football was almost non-existent. And now, after 18 months, we've got 5 regional centres in Victoria who are part of the NPL. And not only that, I mean, we spoke about the FFA Cup earlier, and I don't think there's many national competitions that have genuine regional centres represented in that competition, especially in any of the codes of football. So that's a fantastic positive for us. It's certainly a massive sacrifice for regional parents and kids.
Yeah, well, that's an extension to that message, was that the cost of travel and accommodation is killing clubs and parents.
It's massive, and look, it's certainly on the agenda. I don't have a quick and easy answer for it now, but it's certainly on the agenda for us to look at over the next couple of years.
Let's have a look at the report card from the A-League, as another good shot there by Sydney FC with a deflection had to be cautiously and well saved by Petr Cech. We're in time added on now in the first half, so it looks like it's going to be 1-0. And I just saw Jose Mourinho nodding approvingly of Sydney FC's last foray forward. So let's have a look at the competition and start with Adelaide. How did you rate their season, Dave?
A B+. They at their best, they were probably the most scintillating team in the competition. However, there were lots of inconsistencies there. Injuries hurt them, Finey. They got too many, and I think a lot of that to do, from what I hear, was due to the substandard condition of their training grounds. So if that's the case, that definitely hurt their grand final chances and probably was the difference between them taking on Melbourne victory and not.
Josip Gombau has a philosophy of football that seemed to be embraced by Adelaide this season. So with that notion going forward, they're promising, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, take the injuries out of the equation and give them a 10 to 12 goal a season striker, a la Besat Berisha, and they are a tantalising proposition. Probably need to shore up the defence a little bit too, but as I said, when they play football at their best, they are almost unstoppable.
When they play cricket at their worst, England are very good to watch. They are now 4 for 62. They were 1 for 60 last time I looked up, but balance did what he does best and went out. Bell has come and gone. Root has been caught at short leg. And Rooted is the team that he plays for. He cannot believe he's gone out because he struck it and the ball sort of hit the close-in fieldsman, who then clutched it to himself. That ball was well struck, actually, and he's a little bit unlucky. But at 4 for 62, caught Latham fortuitously, bowled Craig incredibly, because I saw Craig bowl in the first test. He didn't look like he could have got a first-timer out, but there they are, 4 for 62, and I think they're stuffed. Let's move on. Liam, just quickly, Adelaide.
For me, probably the most entertaining team to watch on the day. I think an absolutely fantastic, just the fluid movement of their football is unbelievable. I think Dave's right in terms of the injuries cost them, and I think if they had a full complement, that I think they would have probably put up a bigger challenge than what they did.
Probably the overall the biggest surprise was the early season form of Brisbane. But how did you rate their season altogether there, gentlemen? I'll start with you, Liam.
Really disappointing from a club that's gone to for that level of, I guess, success. There's a bit of a drop-off to be expected, but you certainly didn't think the drop-off was going to be that much. You probably figured with the strengthening that Melbourne victory, Sydney and Adelaide had done, that they would probably overtake them, but you certainly didn't. I certainly didn't foresee them dropping quite as low as they did.
Brisbane?
Dave? Yep.
Sorry, I wasn't listening to you.
Brisbane. Few people do.
C. Look, they got rid of their coach. It was a turbulent season. They sort of rectified the situation, but I thought the coaching was really poor. Underlined by their visit to Melbourne City late in the season when they needed a win, and Franz Tyson didn't make a substitution, not one substitution, when they were 1-0 down, yet dominating possession. So I felt sorry for the players, but a C, and I think they could turn it around with John Aloisi at the helm now. Shall be interesting to see how he goes.
C for Central Coast Mariners, and I reckon they'd take a C if you were offering, but I don't think you're offering.
Yeah, keep going South, Finey. A D. Probably lucky to get a D. Actually, you know what? I'm going to reassess that. D minus.
Yeah, they offered nothing.
They were unwatchable this season. I really struggled to watch the Central Coast Mariners. Those big Master Food sauce bottles behind the goals and the palm trees were probably the most entertaining part of tuning into those games.
They were just poor, weren't they, Liam? They went from a team that was famous for scrapping and fighting above their weight to a team that gave in without a whimper in many games.
I think, look, the style of football probably didn't change that much, but like you said, when you're fighting and scrapping and you're winning that fight and scrap, then it becomes, although it's probably not the prettiest brand of football to watch, it's actually, you know, it can be quite entertaining. But when you start losing the fight and start losing the scrap, when we talk about Adelaide and how scintillating they were, that must be the complete opposite of what Adelaide were.
Well, they didn't know what they stood for. I think they had an identity crisis this year, and they just, I think that the blue-collar work ethic suits them.
Now we're going to have to roll through the rest. Melbourne City.
Melbourne City, what did I give them? A C, maybe even a C minus. Best ever placing, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it was tough to watch at times.
Promised more than they delivered, hey, Liam?
Yeah, look, I think the last couple of games probably masked a little bit of what their actual form was throughout the season.
The Newcastle Jets played under a great deal of duress throughout the season. What did you make of it?
E.
end this charade now.
It was an absolute shambles. You don't know where to start with the Jets. I mean, look, Phil Stubbins was courageous in terms of moving on four or five players, but I think it was handled very poorly from a PR point of view.
Now, if they get an E, what do Perth get for their off-field accountancy?
Perth glory the players, the team gets a B. Yeah. The club, the administration gets... Do they call it an F or a UG?
An F.
Yeah.
Or a Z, as some of my teachers used to say. There's not enough letters in the alphabet for you, boy.
Headlined by their guru CEO, Jason Brewer, or former CEO, who masterminded the salary cap rort, the great salary cap rort. So they're an absolute shambles off the field, and they need to sort it out quick smart.
Sydney, Liam, very quickly.
Look, to be honest, I didn't think Graham Arnold was going to be the answer personally. Their transient manager type of role that's always up at Sydney FC. But to be honest, credit to him. The turnaround after the Asian Cup was superb, and they're probably the form team from January onwards.
A minus.
Yeah, they were good, weren't they? Good to watch too. Wellington Phoenix?
B. Got to the top and then sort of fell apart. But
then they looked around.
Yeah, they did. They got a bit of stage fright. Very watchable, very attacking, headlined by Nathan Burns, but certainly positives for them going forward.
And the wandering wanderers who wandered all the way down to the bottom.
Look, D, if you look at their A-League campaign exclusively, but when you incorporate the Asian Champions League, you've got to probably give them a C. I mean, the Asian Champions League, they won it, possibly even a C+. And I think the fixturing absolutely killed them, as well as the stoush over the bonuses for the FIFA Club World Cup.
A's all around for victory, anybody?
Yep.
Definitely, A's. Yeah. I'll argue.
They delivered on what they promised, and they saved their best till last.
A+ for their grand final celebrations, Finey.
Yeah, well, because you were part of them, and because your photo is now on a no-admit list at Love Machine, I give it an A++. The show is over. I want to thank Liam Bentley from NPL and from the WPL, where he is boss. And I want to thank Banking on Football. You've got the opportunity to join right now. Fantastic prizes of 2 platinum tickets to the big blockbuster between Real and AS Roma at the MCG in July. Visit bankingonfootball.com. And you could get those 2 platinum tickets and also bank with the people that are good for football. Banking on Football. Thank you, Dave.
.com or .au?
.com.
Okay.
It says here .com.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not .com, try .au afterwards. You know what? Type Banking on Football into your Google search and you'll end up exactly where you need to be. Thank you, Liam Bentley. Linesman, that's the end of that.